Good evening, everyone, and welcome to RCN Sports Talk presented by The Morning Call. I'm Chris Michael. Jam-packed show filled with great topics and some very interesting guests, as we'll be talking NFL playoffs and some NFL policy issues. We'll also be talking a lot of college and high school hoops, plus our polls, trivia, and some great prize giveaways. So let's introduce tonight's panel. Of course, our in-studio guests from The Morning Call, the outstanding writers from The Morning Call, Mr. Lynn Worthy, and the co-host of the program, Mr. Keith Groller. Are you happy? You're both outstanding writers. Fair play. Is that equal? Are you happy with that introduction?
Absolutely. And I want to congratulate you on a good prediction week. I was very concerned, and thank goodness for Banger to hold, rally.
That was close,
to defeat Freedom Rush.
We'd
have to call it the Michael Groller Hoops Challenge. Still the Groller Michael Hoops Challenge, because I'm still one game ahead of you.
By the way, Lynn, does he try to screw you guys over during football season, picking, Neshaminy, Tamaqua girls or something like that? I got a wrestling show to get ready for. We got swimming coming up. I got all these games to do, EPC, LB. Come on. Give me a couple of easier teams to ask
because he had some rookie growing pains this past year in the football season.
Wow. Yeah, ask about these teams in the Boondocks.
Still didn't do that bad. You know, I did all right.
You did all right.
For a first time.
You used your Colonial League knowledge there. Yeah. It went strong.
All right. And joining us for our first segment, a very special guest on the phone lines from Fox Sports, award-winning social media producer, video producer, and broadcaster, Mr. Brian H. Waters. Brian, thanks so much for joining us, and welcome to Sports Talk this evening. Hello, Brian.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Oh, glad to have you on. I know you're a little under the weather, so I'm glad you joined us. Thanks so much for giving us some time tonight. Hope you're doing okay.
I'm trying. I don't know where it came from. It's out of nowhere. I just started feeling a little woozy, but, you know, who can't talk sports?
Yeah, well, there's a lot of things, a lot of bugs going on right now. So, again, thanks for your time tonight. You wrote a great article about the NFL playoffs, and Antonio Brown is probably everyone knows by now, and an interesting thing that happened after the game, him streaming on Facebook Live, the post-game conference, which is most people who have been in locker rooms after games know it can be a little intense, and it isn't the nicest place for niceties, to say the least. But before we talk about your article, I just wanted to get, what was your reaction? I don't know if you were on Facebook Live when it happened, but when you heard about everything going down, what was your initial reaction when you heard what Antonio Brown was doing in the locker room after a big win by the Steelers?
I wasn't surprised, just because Antonio Brown is just one of the type of players who's very, is very colorful, has a very colorful personality. So it didn't surprise me one bit. I was just kind of surprised that he got away with it so long, and most importantly, that he didn't end the stream before his coach started talking.
Yeah, and that kind of brings up an interesting point. I want to ask you and Lynn and Keith, as members of the media, how do you feel about players having access? It's almost like they're getting the inside scoop now ahead of the media, because they can broadcast and go in places the media is not allowed to. And I was kidding with Lynn before we come on. Watch, 5 years from now, NFL teams are going to be streaming from locker rooms all over the place and making a ton of money off of it. Off an idea that Antonio Brown was the first to do. But Brian, we'll start with you, and Lynn and Keith, I'd like to get your thoughts about live streaming and social media for players and them broadcasting from inside, expressing their own freedom of the press, so to speak. Brian, we'll start with you.
I don't think it's that good of an idea. Truth be told, we've had training in what we're supposed to do as members of the media. Most of us, we went to college or we took up a couple of classes, so we know what to do, what not to do. We know how to hold the camera. One of the things I was just hoping that I didn't see was a player nude. You know, Facebook Live isn't going to put the sensor over that, so I was just hoping that I didn't see that. But I don't think we'll go that far. I know we have like the thing with LeBron James where he does it uninterrupted, and now players can break their own news and let us know where they're going. But it still adds a little bit of credibility, especially when you have a sports reporter. I watched the show on Showtime, and one of the things to get the player to sign, it was the basketball drama, but it's kind of imitates real life, was they called the reporter to say, "Hey, I need to talk to you," and it was just to play the leverage game. So I think we're safe. We'll always have a place in this business.
Yeah. Lynn and Keith, your thoughts on social media and players having access or not having access to do certain things with their social media?
Well, I agree that, you know, it's all, we'll always have a place. Us as the, you know, the more traditional reporters will have a place when it comes to, you know, reporting on things that are going on, whether it's behind the scenes, on the field, what's, you know, sort of the narrative that's going on throughout the season. But at the same time, I don't know if I can necessarily blame some players for doing some of these things like we talked about before, whether it's Brown supposedly getting a certain amount of money to do certain things on social media, especially in a sports like sport like football where, you know, your career is, you know, can turn on a play or, you know, any sort of second. So if that means he's going to tweet and he's going to put things on Facebook, it's going to bring him in more money. You can't really fault a guy for that. But I still obviously would caution to say that, you know, does that replace the reporting that, you know, a television, newspaper, radio, all those sorts of people do? Definitely not.
Well, from a team standpoint, they got to have an inner sanctum or some space where they can go that remains private. And if I'm involved with a team, if I'm an owner, GM, coach, whatever, I got to make it clear to my players that there are certain places that are off limits. And one should be the locker room. Yeah. And because things are said there that should not be said in public unless the NFL films people or whatever have an agreement that they can access it. I just think the teams, whether they're high school teams, college teams, pro teams, do need and should have that space, that little bit of privacy that blocks them out from the rest of the world. Unfortunately, almost everything now is available to everybody, and it's getting harder and harder to find that space, but I think teams deserve and should have that space.
Well, in most of the time, though, it always seemed like when you talk about that, having that place that's sacred or that's, you know, private, it's usually meant to mean private from, you know, us or from outsiders who are not able to go in there, or like the whole cooling down periods or the locker room closes at a certain time. But these are the guys who are in the locker room who are giving away their privacy.
So that's I mean, Antonio Brown, I mean, he's violating what I believe Mike Tomlin wanted in this case, or certainly what the Steeler franchise wanted. I mean, and he was, like Tomlin said, he was kind of selfish in this regard. He should know better.
Oh, yeah, he was selfish in that regard. But at the same time, like I said, I don't know what the money was or what the figure was, but if somebody's got some deal where he's going to make a certain amount of money off of social media, I mean, they can find him, but if they're giving him, whoever it is, giving him a whole lot of money for social media, and he could just take a little portion of that and give it to them for the fine, then, I mean, what's to stop him?
Brian, I'm curious, do you think, you know, in your article you had posted the actual rules from the NFL about this, and the rules almost sounded antiquated with all the technology that's out there. Do you think they have to be a little bit more aggressive and kind of stay ahead of trends? And I think in your article you even hinted that they're going to have to rewrite the existing policies in place, because sooner or later you're going to find players to find ways around the rules that they have. And you know, as Lynn says, they can make money off of, and you could argue, I think maybe they should, instead of the NFL just coming in and having a monopoly on everything.
Yeah, I think they're going to have to. Technology changes every day. I mean, a year ago, this wasn't an issue. Mm-hmm. It just goes to show you how fast technology changed. Yes, last year we had Periscope around this time, but then you even looked at 2 years ago, you know, first it was Meerkat. That kit started around 2015, and Periscope kind of took over Meerkat. And then next thing you know, Facebook Live said they wanted to jump on the bandwagon. Now we have Instagram Live. The bottom line is, you know, social media is always changing. So the league, they're probably going to have to change their rules almost every week, or it'd be a week-by-week scenario.
Our special guest via the phone lines, Brian H. Waters from Fox Sports, award-winning social media video producer and broadcaster Lynn Worthy, and Keith Groller of the Morning Call in studio. I wanted to pick your brain and get some of your insights on this week's NFL playoff games. Of course, in the AFC, you have Ben Roethlisberger versus Tom Brady. That's the big matchup, although there's some great players away from the quarterback spot, especially the Steelers, Antonio Brown, Facebook issue aside, and Le'Veon Bell, of course. But everyone's concentrated on the quarterbacks. What are some of your keys in that game? Who do you like between the Steelers and the Patriots? And who do you think will have the better game at quarterback?
When it comes to the quarterback position, I got to go with Ben Roethlisberger. I mean, to me, he just has the best weapons. He has a better wide receiver than Antonio Brown. And one thing, Mike Tomlin said that he was not going to punish the team. He was going to punish him. And then, you know, Le'Veon Bell, I mean, he's just an amazing running back. Most people will say the best running back in the National Football League. And I know I'm going to get killed on that being a Baltimore resident picking the Steelers, but, you know, I'm going with the Pittsburgh Steelers for this one.
I'd like to get your thoughts on the first matchup, though, and which is kind of the underplayed matchup here. And I think this is a fascinating matchup because you got two quarterbacks there, Matt Ryan and Aaron Rodgers. One was written off last year already, talking about Ryan. He had a bad, bad season last year. And Rodgers was written off about 5 or 6 weeks ago. Entering that game, that Monday night game in Philadelphia, people thought that Rodgers was not the quarterback he used to be, that the Packers weren't nearly as good. McCarthy was getting that little bit of a hot seat under him. And then everything has turned around. So these are kind of like the comeback guys. I don't think Roethlisberger or Brady went anywhere, but these two guys are kind of making a comeback. And I'd like to get your thoughts on that particular matchup.
I really like the Atlanta Falcons. They're home. They're going to be up for this game, especially it's the last NFL game in the Georgia Dome. And Matt Ryan, I don't want to say the window is closing on the Atlanta Falcons, but, you know, understand that look what happened to the Carolina Panthers last year. We also know that division is notorious where not too many teams win consecutively. The Carolina Panthers just did it the past couple of years, but for the most part, nobody really wins that. Nobody goes on a run that, say, like the New England Patriots or even the Pittsburgh Steelers will do here and there. So, you know, with the Falcons, I don't want to say edging them, but they, you know, they kind of had to battle out and, you know, outlast the Buccaneers, who is a team that's up and coming. You also have the Dallas Cowboys in the NFC, another team that, you know, could certainly be back. But I think that when you look at the high power offense that Matt Ryan has, and you look at the secondary, you look at what a quarterback like Dak Prescott was able to do in the second half against the Green Bay Packers, I expect to see Matt Ryan do even more, somebody who has a little bit more experience in the playoffs.
Brian, before we let you go, I did want to pick your brain about the Redskins. Of course, they are still looking for a defensive coordinator. Our own director, Chris Popick, has a theory about that. He thinks Gus Bradley is going to be the guy. I always think it's interesting when teams say they're going to cast a wide net and do a thorough search and use those terms, that it's great for a time. But as the longer you go and as people start going off the board, and maybe I'm just being overly skeptical about this, but it starts to concern me the longer you go and you don't name someone at this point. If you have a guy or one or two people, you should narrow it down and try to get them and do whatever you can to get them before they start going elsewhere. But what's the latest you've heard about the defensive coordinator position? Seems to be some different stories coming out each day. But what's the latest that you've heard, and where do you think they'll end up eventually?
This is one of the positions really hard to see where they go. I know they're interviewing Dennis Thurman tomorrow, former Buffalo Bills assistant, but, you know, it's really difficult. One of the things with the Redskins, you know, they want to make sure that they can get a guy who can put one of their biggest investments in the right position to succeed, and that's Josh Norman.
All right, Brian, thanks so much for joining us. Again, thanks for being with us despite you being under the weather, and continued success with Fox Sports 1340 and all the stuff you do on social media and on the Internet as well.
All right, thanks for having me.
All right, our pleasure. Brian H. Waters from Fox Sports 1340 down in the DMV region. We're going to be talking some high school and college basketball coming up in just a moment, but right now it's time to roll out tonight's trivia question and give you a chance to win tonight's special prize. It does involve NFL and the playoffs, and tonight's question, very simply, who holds the record for most losses in NFL playoff games? Who holds the all-time high mark or low mark, depending on how you look at it, for losses in NFL playoff games? And here's more information on how and what you can win.
You could win a $10 gift certificate to use to see the latest movies and the hottest music, sports, and pay-per-view events on RCN On Demand. You can only win one gift certificate every 4 months. But if you haven't won a prize in the last 30 days, you may be able to win another great prize. Call or email us right now with your trivia response. Callers get priority. But if we don't get a caller with the correct answer during tonight's live sports talk show, we'll take all email responses and conduct a random drawing on our next live show to determine the winner. Watching the show on replay or VOD? Send us your guess now, and you just might win an RCN On Demand $10 certificate. Good luck with sports talk trivia.
Welcome back to RCN Sports Talk, presented by The Morning Call. We're going to get to our high school poll, and then we're going to change the order of our segment two here tonight because we have a special announcement, some breaking news, not necessarily some good news for those of us in the Lehigh Valley. But I don't want to steal Keith's thunder. That's part of his Grohler's Grumbling segment coming up in just a moment. But first, we're going to take a look at this week's high school basketball rankings. We'll start with the big schools. No surprise, atop the poll, once again, the number one team in the area and in the state of Pennsylvania, Allen getting all of our first place votes. Bangor, in part to that big win over Freedom, three-point win last weekend. They have moved into the number two spot in the RCN Sports Talk poll presented by The Morning Call. Ahead of Emmaus, Whitehall has moved up to the number four. They've had some big wins the last week, and Pocono Mountain stays in the top five. Pretty solid from all of our voters all the way around, coaches and media members. Those were the main five in that order as far as this week anyway, Keith.
Well, you got the two teams at the top are combined 27. I know you can't go wrong with the Canaries and the Slaters in the top two spots. And then you got to go with that order right there. The team that people, that's not on that list, the team that is making a surge, yeah. The Parkland Trojans, they're coming. And you have Emmaus beat Whitehall, so that he should be ahead of Whitehall, and Whitehall beat Pocono West. So that order is very efficient there and very accurate. But Liberty and Parkland, not on that board. Watch out for those two programs. Yeah.
All right, now we'll take a look at the small school poll. Not a whole lot of turnover, especially in the top spot. Bethlehem Catholic continues to be our unanimous number one team as they pretty much have steamrolled through the competition. As they pointed out when we were there the other night, two EPC losses by 1 point each. Salisbury moves back into the number two spot after falling to number three for a week. Then Saucon Valley back to number three. Notre Dame moves back up to number four. They were there earlier. And Lincoln Leadership hangs on as our number five school. Keith, your thoughts on the smaller schools?
Well, I do like one big top 10 poll, and I have Becca all the way up to three now in mind because they gave Allen as good a test as you'd want a couple weeks ago over at Bethlehem Catholic. So I have Becca number three in the overall poll. I have Salisbury sneaking back into the top 10 in my poll, and they're deserving. Saucon, I know Saucon's beaten Salisbury, but I still think Salisbury with Reichenbach, with Costello. Yeah, I think Salisbury's going to be there in the end, and I think it's going to be Bangor and Salisbury once again playing for that Colonial League championship.
All right. As I said, we're going to mix the order up for this segment a little bit. We'll go right to Grohler's Grumblings, who has some big news concerning Mr. Worthy, as a matter of fact. So, Keith, go right ahead.
Well, my grumbling is simply that we're going to lose this guy. I mean, we just got to know him, and my goodness, in 7 months or whatever it's been, he has made a great impact on the Lehigh Valley community. He's done his job with professionalism, with class, with dignity, all the things that I lack, certainly. But no, and he got to see me.
Wait a minute, did we tape that, right?
The first night we were together, the first time I met you, we had this like crazy 70 to 60, I don't know,
McDonald's
All-Star football game. And I was just fit to be tied because they kicked us out, as they always do at Nashville, they kicked us out of the press box. So I was like using every word, okay? And that Lynn's just calm and cool and collected as could be. He has handled himself so well. We're going to miss him. He's going to Salt Lake City. Just a quick letter that exemplifies the impact that he made with us in his 7 months with us. Dear Lynn, I am extremely excited for you and this new opportunity. Selfishly, I'm disappointed you came to the Morning Call and represented Colonial League football with professionalism and enthusiasm, which we may have not always been it from in recent years. You made our small to medium-sized school league feel as if we were playing in the NCAA's Big Ten. For this, we are extremely grateful. I wish you the best, and should you ever need anything down the road, please do not hesitate to reach out. This is from the director of District 11 football, Mr. Jason Zimmerman, who's also the Colonial League treasurer and the Northwestern Lehigh athletic director, one of the best in the business. That's the kind of respect that Lynn Worthy earned. He's gone his way to tell the folks you're going west, my friend.
Yeah, I'm going to be going to the Salt Lake Tribune, Salt Lake City, Utah. We cover some college sports, minor league baseball, hopefully get some chance to help out with some other things, including the Jazz. But it was one of those opportunities that I didn't really feel like I could just say no to. And also an editor that I worked with for about 4 or 5 years, and some other people out there that I know a little bit through professional relationships. So I feel like it's going to be a good opportunity, a good situation. So it was one that was hard to say no to.
Well, I want to ask you, I know you're only here for 7 months about, something like that. What were some of your impressions of the Lehigh Valley sports scene?
And I think we talked about this probably the first time I was on the show here too, but just the amount of attention, or I should say the passion that people have for the sports here. They really care about stuff. And I mean, and I think throughout the season, there's probably times when I said to you, you know, I got an email about this where you're, you know, you're favoring this team or you're favoring that team. And I said, well, as long as they balance out, then that means I did it all right. To me, if you're getting emails and, you know, or, you know, people are saying something to you when they see you at a game, that means they care. If you're not getting, if you're not hearing anything from anybody, there's probably two reasons. Either one, you did things perfect, and then even I'm not chesty enough to believe that, or two, that they're not paying that much attention. So if you're hearing from people, that means they care. It means they're paying attention. They're reading. They're, you know, going online to read and see what you're doing. They're watching the videos. So there's definitely people here, whether it was football, whether it was, you know, some of the college basketball stuff, whether it was the Velodrome over the summer doing that stuff, or, you know, the Iron Pigs when I filled in for Tom. So people cared about the sports here. And people, I mean, not just the people who are watching, but obviously the athletes, the coaches, and everybody really puts a lot of time and energy and dedicates themselves to, you know, what they're doing, whether it's coaching or playing, or even just the people working in the press boxes. There's people who are, you know, really care about the sports here at all different levels.
You know, Salt Lake City's gain is definitely our loss, because I thought he was going to be a great, was a great addition, and certainly was going to be one of our most superb writers that we've had. And I've been at the paper for 35 years, and he certainly came in there and made a great impact in a brief amount of time, and I have great respect for this man, and I certainly hope he'll always remember fondly his months here at the Morning Call and then in the Lehigh Valley, and will stop by and visit us from time to time.
Yeah, well, just want to say thank you, obviously, to you guys here, but to coaches, staff, you know, the different athletic directors, everybody, because, you know, for me to come in, obviously, new, not having been here that long, but coming in new to the area and sort of hit the ground running, covering different sports and things like that. The only way to be able to do that is to obviously, you know, be able to lean on people for whether it's just information or help or just where to go, you know, where, how to find this school, sure, or that school. So definitely a lot of people were helpful and friendly, and that was a, you know, definitely a great help to me. And then just, you know, there's just good people. I mean, anywhere, wherever you go, if you got good people, it feels to me, it seems to me like you could do all right. And there's definitely good people all around here.
Lynn, I just want to apologize, because I have a habit of scaring people out of this industry and out of this area, and I had no idea that your three appearances on our Sports Talk were going to make you leave this quickly. So I just want to, you know, I hope I didn't force you too quickly out of the area. But no, it was great to see you out at Colonial League games, and it was so much fun having you on the show. I was disappointed when Keith told me the other day, but we certainly wish you the best of luck as well.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to continue with more RCN Sports Talk presented by The Morning Call right after this timeout. Welcome back to RCN Sports Talk presented by The Morning Call. Our special in-studio guest making his last appearance, sadly. Maybe we can have you on Skype and have you chime in that way. Lynn Worthy of The Morning Call joining Keith Groller. The outstanding writers from The Morning Call. Brilliant in every facet. Is that, I'm still trying to get enough compliments for you. You know, I want to keep you happy here, Keith.
You are. You're doing a great, great job.
All right. Thank you very much. Time for the roundtable. We're going to hit to this, get to this, because we have a special guest coming up for our fourth segment tonight. Roundtable is where we have a variety of local, regional, and national topics that we throw at our panelists to get their input and their feedback and thoughts on some different topics tonight. We're trying to cover quite a few topics this evening. Topic number one, NFL playoffs coming up this weekend. Who do you like in the Steelers, Patriots, and Falcons, Packers? Lynn, we'll start with you. Who's your winners?
I like Pittsburgh just for the fact of I'm hoping that anything that knocks the Patriots down a peg is good in my book. So. plus, if Brock Osweiler wasn't just sorry, they would have lost last week. So I'm all on board with Pittsburgh this week. And then Green Bay, they beat my Giants. But, I mean, Aaron Rodgers has looked really good. So it's hard to go against him right now. So that's what I'm leading at right now.
Very good. Keith, who do you like this weekend?
But I don't like anybody in the AFC. I can't stand both of those franchises. I have to admit they both turn my stomach a little bit. But so I'll be rooting for whoever comes out of the NFC in the Super Bowl. I do agree with our previous
two
guest.
Two of the greatest quarterbacks of our era are playing in
sick.
That game.
They make me sick. But I think the Falcons. Watch out for the Falcons. I know the NFL people. They're going to get a great rating anyway for the Super Bowl. But I know they would probably like the Packers against either of those two teams. But I think Atlanta's going to break into the party. And good for Atlanta. We're seeing a lot of the Cubs breaking through when Cleveland finally won a title. I don't think Atlanta's won a heck of a lot. So Why not see the Falcons go all the way?
They've had a great sports season with the Cubs. You mentioned Villanova. I mean, it's been a lot.
It's been a period where the underdogs have shined. So,
all right, topic number two, as far as college or high school hoops, who's the biggest individual highlight or the biggest performance that you've seen so far? Keith, we'll start with you. What player jumps out your mind for biggest individual highlight that you've seen this year?
Well, Sam Iorio from Parkland's been out. I mean, in basketball, you got five or six guys who almost every night they play. They put a highlight film together. Sam Iorio comes to mind. I just saw him, you know, have a big 31-point performance against Emmaus. Mm-hmm. The Cacarese boys, David, spectacular. But right now, the consistency has been with Talik Williams and Tyrese Martin and those Allen Canaries who we had in our studio last week. And Banger. I mean, Banger does it more as a team. And I thought Ben Holland, with that big performance that helped me out with a correct pick there, with those six threes the other night that leave Banger past freedom. So that stands out. But we're seeing night in, night out, just unbelievable performances. We had a kid named Greg Eck, by the way. I just realized this. He scored 30 of his team's 34 points for East Stroudsburg South in a loss to Emmaus last week. That's pretty darn good. They only scored 34 as a team, and one guy gets 30. That's pretty good.
Lynn, you've been covering more college games in the last couple months. Who have stuck out in your mind?
Well, for a game that stuck out was definitely the last week. I think it was Kutztown and East Stroudsburg University. It looked like it was going to be a blowout up until the last, 14 minutes. And then all of a sudden it went from 25-point deficit to, I think it was a one-point game in the last, two or three minutes. And the pace of the game was just ridiculous. I've seen Kutztown a couple times in the the point guard, I mean, not the Parkland kid, Austin, but the Ethan Ridgeway has really impressed me with just the way he controls the game. Saw him do it early against Philadelphia U and then saw him again there. But individually, having covered a couple of Lafayette games, Matt, I want to say it's Klinuski, and I could be mispronouncing that. It's easier to spell than to pronounce sometimes for us writers, but just the way he's sort of been the steady offensive presence, and everybody knows that he's going to be the one that they're going to lean on too. So I mean, and usually when you get into the league play, teams know who your guys are. They know what they do well, what they can't do. Those people know you so well, especially for a guy who's a junior. Then they're able to sort of bottle you up a little bit. And I haven't seen it. He's hitting shots, scoring around the paint, rebounding, everything for them. So individually, what he's done so far has been the thing that stands out to me.
I don't want to catch you off guard, but I know we are seeing up in the Boston area. You did see Boston a few weeks ago. Any thoughts on that program out there?
Well,
they're
doing
pretty well in the standings.
Yeah, they look pretty good, obviously. And the other thing is they had a lot of shooters. And it seemed like when I worked up in upstate New York and Boston was in the America East Conference, I used to see them a couple times a year too. And it seems like they've always had multiple shooters, which makes it hard to defend, especially if you've got a guy who can make plays or you've got somebody big down in the paint. I can't remember what the number was. I want to say they had 18 three-pointers they made when they played over at Lafayette this year. So, they got first-team all-conference guard as well, wing player. But then you get guys, shooters all around him on top of that, and that makes it tough. And I think, at least as of this point, Lehigh was favorite going into the year. But Boston seems like they might be able to, give him a run.
Bucknell, of course, leading the Patriot League right now. It's very good. Topic number three, Hall of Fame voting came out. Some interesting decisions, some interesting no-shows, and some interesting results when you look at the number of votes that people are getting or not getting. Lynn, we'll start with you. Thumbs up. Do you like that the writers get it right for the Hall of Fame for Major League Baseball this time around?
Well, I feel like there's always guys that could have got in. That, every year you can look at it and say there's guys who could have got in, but I think Reigns finally getting in was definitely something that people sort of felt was overdue. And Pudge Rodriguez, I feel like for me, is one of those guys who was probably the best defensive catcher of the era that I was, watching baseball. Now there's some questions about him because Jose Canseco is, supposedly named him in his book, and who knows what actually happened there. But to me, like I said, one of probably the best defensive catcher of the era that I watched baseball. And it seems like Bonds, Clemens are getting closer. Maybe another couple of years, that'll, tip the scales in their favor. But, every year I feel like there's probably guys you say could get in. Maybe a couple more guys who will get in later on. But I don't see anything egregious right now, at least not in my eyes.
You touched on something I wanted to follow up, but I don't want to steal Keith's thunder. Go right
ahead. No, I just think there's total lack of consistency.
That's the thing.
We have total lack of consistency. There's rumors, there's name, you know, there's a taint around Pudge Rodriguez, right or wrong, and there's even some taint around Jeff Bagwell.
Yep.
And so if these guys got taint, well, then what about the guys who have unbelievable numbers like Clemens and Barry Bonds in particular? I mean, so if you're not going to hold the stuff, the allegations against Pudge, well, you got to put Bonds and Clemens in.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't get it. I mean, on the other note, I am happy years ago when he came through. What's the name of the AA franchise for the Red Sox? Jeff Bagwell.
Pawtucket's AAA.
Portland Sea Dogs.
Like a long time ago.
Oh, probably Trenton.
Okay, well, whatever the franchise was, I got Jeff. So somewhere, that might be worth something now. I got Jeff Bagwell. Oh, my son did. Jeff Bagwell's autograph. So, but no, it's just totally inconsistent. I like Reigns. I think Rock Reigns.
Yeah.
Part of the game is the speed element, and I think he's deserving. But I don't know. I mean, totally inconsistency on the part of the writers, in my opinion.
Let me go one step further then. Curt Schilling, dramatic drop-off. Now, the voting is supposed to be, I know he says some things, a lot of people don't like what he says on Twitter and social media. He had a dramatic drop-off from last year. Now, if you're voting just on the playing career and nothing else that comes after, how can he go from an almost all-star to, like, being in the lower half?
In a Hall of Famer, too.
Yeah.
I mean, well, I think he's being penalized for his political stance in this. I mean,
which is against the voting. So, I mean, where is it coming from?
I think he's being punished because a lot of people think he's a loon, and it's hurting him. And I don't think that's right either. I don't. Maybe Lynn has a different view.
I'm not going to say it's right, but I think it's also, I don't know if it's just political too, because I think, you know, the thing he either retweeted, that's one of those ones he always likes to stand behind that. Well, I didn't actually tweet, I retweeted, but the one with, like, you know, the lynching journalists.
Yeah.
And I don't think he's the first guy who, you know, not getting on the good side of the media has sort of hurt him. I know growing up in Massachusetts, they used to always say that, you know, blanking on the outfielder, Jim
Rice.
Rice. They said for a long time that he would, part of what was holding him back was that there was media people who just didn't like him, and that he was, you know, that said that he was really just prickly and, you know, a jerk to some of the media in the clubhouse and that sort of stuff, and that held him back. The other thing I think to consider is also the changing in the voting population, where they've sort of starting to push some guys off of, you know, that voting voter rolls in terms of the Hall of Fame vote, and you get new voters in. So I think that also may have some effect on some of the changes you see in percentages. But from one year to the other, for Schilling to go down like that, I think it might just be some of the journalists' pushback of the fact that they didn't like what he said specifically about journalists. Too.
And real quick, I'll bring up the Justin Verlander situation. Cy Young Award winner. He blew off two reporters in Tampa Bay, so those two reporters leave him off the ballot completely. It keeps him from winning a Cy Young. Those two people took him from first to third in the voting, which isn't fair. You got to have more, I think, more control. You can't hand, no disrespect to writers, but you can't just allow two people to affect the entire outcome without having some oversight, in my opinion. All right, topic number four, Chargers and Raiders are on the move. Lynn, I think you retweeted that earlier today, too, about the Raiders. It's official. They're going to Las Vegas, San Diego Chargers, now the Los Angeles Chargers, unless you heard of the slip by the head coach the other day, which he called them the San Diego Chargers again. Is this good for the NFL? Do you like this change?
No,
Keith?
I don't. I think another city was given the shaft here, much like St. Louis was when the Rams left. I think San Diego deserved the franchise, and they supported that team through a lot of bad years. I think they had one Super Bowl appearance, and they got trashed by the 49ers. There's a big gold mine out there in Los Angeles in Englewood that they're building, and now they're going to share that city with the Rams eventually. And I am happy for Vegas, though. I am happy for Vegas. I've been to Vegas five times. It's one of my favorite cities, and I think that'll just add. You don't need much more in Vegas, but I think having an NFL team would be pretty cool too. But no, I think I feel bad for the cities that are left behind and left abandoned.
Lynn, your thoughts on the NFL teams moving?
Well, first with Vegas, I mean, with me being going to be going out to Salt Lake, that'll probably be in my TV market. So
there
I'll
you
have,
go.
You know, have a team that I'll be able to watch on a regular basis. In terms of, you know, it's always tough when you're an area or region loses a team. For San Diego, I can't say for sure how much they really supported the team. I know there was always stadium issues and it being an older stadium and not wanting to pony up. Not that, you know, you could always just go back to the voters or taxpayers and say, well, you can give us this money for a stadium. But for them to go to Los Angeles, I'm not sure what they're really gaining mm-hmm. by being the second team in Los Angeles. I mean, wasn't that long ago.
They'll be number one. They can put something together. They'll be number one. They already got a better quarterback than the Rams did. That's for
well,
sure.
Just the idea of the two teams there. They're going to be the tenant first of all, right? Mm-hmm. They're going to be the tenant in the building, but then just the idea of the two teams. I mean, the last time there was two teams there, what ended up happening? I mean, you know, I mean, both of them left. So now all of a sudden, you know, I don't know how much time has changed things. Where all of a sudden now we say, well, you know, 2017. We could put two teams there and it's going to work because somebody has a whole lot of money.
All right. Topic number five, should they and will they shorten the NBA and the end of NBA games? USA Today sent out a report the other day. In order to reach millennials and people that have shorter attention spans, they're getting tired of all these fouls and timeouts that are called late. They want to enact policies to shorten the game, limit the number of timeouts, and shorten the time, the dead ball times, to attract the millennials and the people that have shorter attention spans out there. Keith, you covered the NBA for a good number of years. Do you think they should be involved and start tweaking a game?
I don't know how you do it because we see it at the high school level, and even the college. I don't cover a lot of college like you do, but the high school game. We had a game the other night that the last Parkland Emmaus, that the last 2 minutes of play took more, almost as much time as the previous 30 minutes combined. I don't know how you do it because people are going to save fouls, they're going to save timeouts, and they're going to use them at the end. So I don't know how you do it without drastically restructuring the way the game is played.
Lynn, how about you?
No. Flatly no. I mean, this idea that, okay, we're going to shorten the game. I mean, I guess my problem would be the reasoning behind shortening the game. You're going to shorten the game, why? Because these supposed mythical, fans are going to all of a sudden start watching based on what? I mean, oh, if we shorten it, then all these people are going to start watching because, what, because it's a little bit shorter? They have actual, I question the theory that says, okay, we shorten it, then all these people are going to watch. And I mean, I covered basketball in a lot of different levels for, at different times, you know, including the NBA. And I know people always say, well, the end of the game takes so long. For me, who I also like covering baseball, too, I always tell people, I said, but there's a clock. Baseball, if you keep going, if the game's tied, then we just keep on playing and playing and playing. I said, at least there's a clock in basketball. Sooner or later, it will hit zeros in baseball. You keep on playing until you got nothing left.
they even put in a clock for baseball, but no one pays attention to it anymore.
Right.
So just a waste of time. All right, before we go to break, because we have a special guest coming up, let's go to Jim in Whitehall, who thinks he has the correct answer for a trivia question. Jim, welcome to Sports Talk, presented by The Morning Call.
Hi, you doing?
Hi, Jim. How are you?
Okay.
I believe you want to take a shot at our trivia question. Who holds the record for most NFL playoff games lost? Your guess?
That would be Minnesota.
Minnesota, you got it. From no, how many losses they have?
I don't know. I'd say 11.
Oh, a lot more. 28.
A lot more than that.
28. And Dallas 28? Is getting close there. No offense, but you're a Cowboy fan.
No.
Oh, okay. I thought you were a Cowboy fan. Dallas Cowboys are getting close to Minnesota, but right now the Vikings still hold
the Rams record. They're pretty good, high, too. The problem is with the Rams, they don't make the playoffs to lose in the playoffs anymore. So,
all right, Jim. Anything else for us this evening?
No, I just know the one guy on the panel my grandson does.
Oh.
He knows Kyle. Ask him if he knows Kyle Kostic.
Well, do I know Kyle? Oh, you do with Kyle.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, okay. From our friends over in the our friends over at the other publication. Yeah, he's a good guy. I covered a few basketball games with him. Oh, some football too.
All right. Jim, thanks so much for your phone call and congratulations on winning. We'll be in contact with you about the prize.
Okay, thank you kindly.
All right, we'll take another quick break. We have a special guest coming up to talk some high school basketball right after this break.
Part of this evening's program or want to see one of our sports features again? Catch today's RCN Sports Talk show or any of our recent programs in its entirety at any time through RCN On Demand. It's easy. Go to dial position one or hit the VOD button on your remote control. Then hit OK and click on RCN TV, then Sports, then RCN Sports Talk. Our shows are listed in descending order, so keep scrolling down to see our most recent shows. The program is free to watch and is available for up to 50 days from our initial air date. So if you ever miss a show or want to catch tonight's program again, check out RCN Sports Talk through video on demand.
Welcome back to the final segment of RCN Sports Talk, presented by The Morning Call. Keith Groller, Lynn Worthy of The Morning Call, and a special guest for our fourth segment tonight, Dave Fedor, the director of The Hoop Group. We're reminiscing, we're talking about previous years and some great names. And Dave, thanks so much for joining us and to talk about this year's great Hoop Group event coming up in a few
weeks. Yeah, thank you guys. Thank you for having me. We're really excited. We have our Lehigh Valley Showcase. We've been doing it now. We're just trying to figure out, close to almost 20 years now we've been out here running this event. So
I'm hoping Keith is wrong. It can't be 20 years. It seems like 10.
I believe the first one was in 1997.
Right,
it was called the Delaware River Challenge.
Because yes, that's exactly right.
Jersey teams going against Pennsylvania teams in that one. And then St. Anthony's with Bobby Hurley Sr. was there. Mm-hmm. And it was a great event. And it's one time it was two nights. Now it's one. But you have a big five-game card, Dave, and I think you got a great, great card lined up.
No, we're really excited. We're really excited. We have, you know, every year it's great to have the local teams who do so well here. And then obviously bring in some national flavor and some teams who, you know, have some kids in the top 100, a couple of McDonald's All-Americans this year. So it should be a great, great day of hoops.
Could you start and talk about your background? You have coaching experience, and talk about how you got involved with the Hoop Group.
Yeah, so I'll tell you what, the Hoop Group is a unique place to work. I was a graduate assistant at Rutgers University for a couple years. I was a Division II assistant coach, and then that kind of got me into this network here at the Hoop Group, where now I run the tournaments. We do AAU tournaments in the spring and summer, as well as our high school showcases here in the winter. So.
Now, one of the teams I want to ask you about in this year's event is Albany. Alan was here last week, and they were giving us a bit of a rundown on them. But, I mean, they're one of the premier teams, certainly in the East Coast. So could you talk about this year's event, which teams are participating, and some of the top players to watch for that game?
Yeah, absolutely.
That series of games.
That's certainly one of the games we're looking forward to. Albany Academy is a great challenge for, I think, William Allen team, who's had a lot of success here locally. I had the chance to catch Albany Academy down in a showcase event in Maryland. They have a junior, Hamir Wright, who is actually ranked number 16 player in the country. So, you know, he presents a lot of different challenges for William Allen. It'll be interesting to see how they handle it. Also, Westtown, again, obviously in this area, is a big name, but they have four guys who, you know, are two guys who are ranked top five in the country, including Mo Bama, who's a McDonald's All-American. You know, down to four schools, I believe now, Kentucky, Duke, Texas, and Michigan. So really look forward to seeing him play. And then obviously we have our two local teams with Emmaus challenging Archbishop Wood from the Philly Catholic League. And then, of course, Parkland is going to take on the public New Jersey State defending champ in Linden. So it should be exciting. And then we have a power game between Blair School and the Patrick School, where you're talking about 10 guys who are committed Division I for this year.
What's it like putting an event like this together? You have to worry about the snow. That was an issue last year for you. Yeah. But when do you start planning it, and what goes in the planning stages, getting the teams together?
Sure. Yeah, it's a lot of groundwork. You know, last year was certainly a unique situation with the snow. We had to adjust on the fly a little bit. But, you know, a lot of this stuff happens early in the year, early in the months. I mean, we're working now to go ahead and plan for the 2018 year. So, you know, it's a lot of groundwork, but we really enjoy it. This is what I do full time. And I love every minute of it. So
Rob Kennedy is still involved, and he was the one that had the foresight to see the Lehigh Valley as an area where this event could come and thrive, and it certainly has. Talk about Rob and his impact on the whole Hoop Group and his legacy, really, with this event and with that organization.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Rob is a tremendous person to work for. Obviously really connected in this community. I think he's impacted so many different lives over the course of his kind of reign of, you know, the Hoop Group. His father actually started this company many, many years ago. They started with camps up in the Poconos, and, you know, now it has grown into so much more. And I think the impact that you have, or the chance that you have on a lot of these kids who now are able to get scholarships because of the exposure they're getting, or because of the instruction that they're getting in the building, where they're getting better over the course of time. Just the impact that he's had is really unique and special.
Well, and what the challenge is always to come up with, and the, as you said, a year in advance. You're trying to figure out what are going to be some of the best teams in the Lehigh Valley. You can always count on like a Patrick School as being a prominent team right. on a national level. But I think you really hit on something this year where you have three. You have a local, kind of like a local game, national game, local game, national game. Mm-hmm. And you're very fortunate you got three of our best with Allen, Emmaus, and Parkland involved this year.
Yeah, we really lucked out. I mean, you know, going into the year, I think we had a pretty good feel for last year. We had a little bit more time to plan with the snow. So we got we hit the ground running. And, you know, we know the kids coming up. We're familiar. They come through a lot of our different camps. Or AU tournaments, so we get to see them quite a bit throughout the year. So we had a pretty good feel for some of the teams in the area, and you know, we always rely on you guys, the media here, and the writers to help us out. So we're looking forward to, you know, hopefully many more years here projecting you know, our talents and having the right matchups.
Haven't covered a lot of college basketball. I know, you know, obviously everybody knows recruiting is, you know, the lifeblood of any program. I'm wondering Absolutely. How much do you guys have an idea how many coaches might be coming in town for this sort of thing? Because I know a lot of times you guys know ahead of time, you know, certain programs, certain coaches are coming in and sure. Taking a look at certain people.
Yeah, right now it's a little early. Haven't heard from necessarily anybody yet. You know, they're in the midst of their season, so it's tough to say. But, you know, I mean, we have a number of players who are already committed. What's nice is it's on a Sunday as well for those guys, so typically colleges are off that day and I'll get a chance to go out and recruit. So I anticipate, you know, probably upwards of 20 to 25, 30 college coaches there, and probably quite a few head coaches as well. You know, with anytime there's talent, there's going to be coaches, so looking forward to it.
That's the neat thing. I mean, I tell everybody who comes out, save your program, because you don't know 5-10 years down yeah. the road, these guys are going to be in the NBA. And it's also neat because you do see occasionally, I'm not sure who's going to be this year, mm-hmm. this year, but we've had John Calipari in the gym. We've had sure. Jim Boeheim in the gym. We certainly have had Jay Wright mm-hmm. in the gym and some of those Philly guys, Fran Dunphy and so forth. It is kind of a neat thing for our basketball community, which doesn't always get, you know, those star type people in the house. But they all love they seem to thrive and love to come to this event.
No, it's great. And you could learn more on our Hoop Group website, hoopgroup.com. But, you know, this event in particular has had over 30 NBA players, including the likes of Kyrie Irving, Tyreek Evans, Tristan Thompson, and kind of the list goes on and on. But it's really great to see those guys come in and be able to challenge some of the local talent and teams in the area. And, you know, we're anticipating another great crowd this year, which is always, you know, fun. And this area really provides the passion and love for the game that, you know, makes the environment fun to play in for some of these other teams. So, you know, we're looking forward to it again. Phones have already been ringing off the hook about tickets. So, you know, we are doing advanced tickets. Tickets can be purchased online, or you can call in at 732-502-2255.
And I know it's one price. Basically, what's the ticket cost?
Yep, $13 for adults and $7 for students, but that gives you access to all five games.
And then while that may seem like a high price for some people who are used to paying the $5 mm-hmm. for the game, I mean, you are going to get to see five games mm-hmm. if you choose to, and you're going to get to see unbelievable talent.
Yeah, that's the idea. You know, most people who are coming to the event are going to be sticking around for the whole day because the chance to see these teams doesn't happen all the time. So.
You talk about the atmosphere, and I say to people, there's very few places in the country that has this kind of media coverage. The outstanding coverage in the morning call, television games during football season. We have a pregame, a halftime, a postgame, in-studio show. Other places in the country, you may have ESPN coming by or an occasional TV station here and there. No, very few places anywhere in the world has this kind of coverage in print and social media and on TV. How does this kind of compare? And you know, could you talk about that? I know the Hoop Group isn't a game we televise. I always love going to it, but you know, it's a special area. And do people out of the area get a sense of how unique sports is and high school basketball is in this area?
No, I really do, and that's why we keep on coming back. You know, it's such a great place to run an event. We run some events in a lot of other places, but this is a special place with the media coverage you get. And that's why we're able to draw a lot of the talented teams that we do, because of the area and because of the environment and because of the coverage that they're going to get when they come out here. They always enjoy coming. And that's why year in and year out, you know, we're able to get the teams we do.
And Dave, a lot of teams, even though they're from high-powered schools, a lot of them especially that have come in from like New York City and so forth, mm-hmm. they're impressed with Park. They don't usually have, you know, I've been to St. Anthony. St. Anthony's used to be a regular from Jersey City, mm-hmm. and they would come in, and their gym is nowhere near has the ambiance of a Parkland High School with all those gyms and a big time facility.
Certainly. I mean, at this point, we've moved most of our high school showcases into college arenas now. And, you know, Parkland is able to seat enough people for us. The facility is nice. The people that work there are great. So, you know, for us, it's a perfect home to house such a special event in the area. And, again, that's what keeps on coming. You know, that's what keeps us coming back.
Real quick, do you want to give the phone number again, people, where people can get information?
Yeah, sure. The phone number for advance tickets is 732-502-2255.
Real quick, we only have 30 seconds. Stone Cold Lock Time. It's where our panelists guarantee something in the world of sports comes true. Dave, we'll start off with you.
Sure. I'm going to guarantee an appearance here for our Lehigh Valley showcase from John Calipari.
All right.
John Calipari, I'd like to see in the house. I know he's recruiting Mo Bamba, which is one of the best players, and Nick Richards is already committed to Kentucky. So.
Oh, good. So that's good, Lynn.
C.J. McCollum, a Lehigh graduate, is going to be playing against the Sixers tomorrow night down in Philly, and I'm going to guarantee he scores at least 20.
All right, Keith?
Well, I'm going to guarantee I'm not going to be here next week. We're going to turn
I want to see you next week on the wrestling
show.
We're
going to turn the show over to wrestling. It's going to be, look.
You better be
wrestling
here.
Wrestling is a big-time sport in the Lehigh Valley. Enjoy the All wrestling right. conversation next
My
week.
My Stone Cold Lock, Joel Embiid, is going to be snubbed for the starter's bid for the NBA All-Star Game. He will get in as a reserve. That'll do it for everyone here at RCN and The Morning Call. I'm Chris Michael. Good night, everyone.